to the Fourth Officials EPL and World Soccer Podcast. I am your host, Tom Miller, here with Manchester City fan James Lewis and Dr. Pete, Tottenham fan. Guys, this is going to be the worst podcast in history, Pete. The worst podcast in history, but one that absolutely has to be done. Manchester City won the treble, the actual treble, the Champions League, the Premier League, and the FA Cup. They won all of them. They beat Manchester United in the FA Cup in a pretty tight game. United had some late chances, but City deserved a win. And then a pretty tight game against Inter, a surprisingly tight game, but the quality and finishing was the difference. And James, your team won the treble.
Well, I predicted this.
You predict everything, and then when you're wrong, you don't say anything. And then when you're right, we have to hear about it. You can't just do that.
You absolutely can just do that. And I think that is the basis for most of how the world runs.
And most of the way you live your life.
That's how he got his position, his corporate position.
Sure.
Is by over-promising, under-delivering, and then every once in a while delivering and telling you about how he delivered.
When you deliver, you better make sure people know about it.
Yeah. So we are going to talk about that treble. We will talk about the good in the treble. We will talk about the bad in Manchester City. But we will start with the on-the-field stuff, which I have to be completely honest and hate to say it. I feel like it's kind of being ignored. It is. It's kind of being ignored. There's a lot of other stuff going on in the soccer world. But it feels like it got a day or two and all the bad stuff came to the front. And nobody's really talking about the fact that it's the treble, for one thing. And for two, it's kind of amazing. Like, it really is. On the field, just thinking about on the field, it's kind of amazing. And I hate to say that, but it's a pretty incredible feat. It did take, you know, X amount of money and all that kind of stuff behind the scenes. That takes away from some of the overall success, but it does take away from what was done on the field. So we will talk about that, unfortunately. We will. The United versus Manchester or versus City game was relatively ho-hum. You know, United went down 13 seconds in or 11 seconds in on a ridiculous Gundogan goal and then came back on a penalty that was a clear penalty. The same thing we've been talking about all season. It's not worth getting back into about these crosses that get, you know, the hit defenders' hands and are called penalty kicks. United.
Yeah. I mean, not even a shot on goal header.
No, it was a byline cross that hit a hand clearly above his head. Super lame overall, but I'll take it as a Manchester United fan. And then City score again on a corner kick, basically a ball that goes through and David De Gea never sees it or sees it too late. And that could be the last game he plays for the club, which wouldn't be good because...
Really?
Yeah.
You think he...
Well, James, we will talk about transfers later, but it is being rumored that right now he is considering an offer from Saudi Arabia, and the United offer is low and full of incentives, and he's not guaranteed to be the starter.
He's gotten used to that $300,000 a week stipend, and now he's not able to come down off that lifestyle. He's married.
Yeah, well, I think he's being offered, last I heard, was like 175 with conditions to meet to get to 225, and he'd still be a top three paid goalkeeper in the league, I believe. So,
as opposed to 175 million, he's probably being offered from Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, the ridiculous contracts being offered out there. Yeah, so Manchester City beats Manchester United. There were some late shots in there. In the 93rd minute, and it's just quality. You either finish them or you don't, which is what happened in both games. Gundogan's second goal was speculative, but if you don't put it on frame, then it's not a goal. So,
who did you bring off the bench when you were chasing the game?
Was it another McTominay appearance?
Oh, yeah, definitely McTominay, but it was also
Wout. I'm pretty sure it was Fred Wout.
Weghorst. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a difference.
It might have been one other player. It's just like, this is why they're not going to win this game.
Yes, it was horrible. But United did hang in there in the game. City was better, but they weren't sharp compared to the way they played in the season. And United had a great chance at the end of the game to tie it. A ball came off the bar and just got headed over. If you're not going to score those, then you're not going to win. And that's exactly what happened in the Inter game as they played their final. Rodri scored a really nice goal off of a nice drop back.
Rodri banger.
Yep, a good goal there. His second all-time Champions League goal. His other Champions League goal was against Bayern Munich in the quarterfinals. So it's not like he's scoring goals all the time, but fantastic goal. And after that, it was all Inter Milan coming down the stretch, Dr. Pete, which was shocking. But those chances fell to players who, let's just say,
Lukaku.
Aren't up for it.
Wow.
Dr. P, what are your thoughts on Romelu Lukaku first blocking a goal that was heading in with his body and then just missing his header, hitting it right at the goalkeeper in the, I guess, 88th minute or so?
I mean, he channeled his inner Chelsea.
Yeah.
In this game. I mean, that was just appalling, that miss from 5 yards out. I felt very bad for the Inter coach because he came out with a great game plan, out XG City, which probably has not happened, certainly hasn't happened in the Champions League this year, but probably has not happened all year long, and really stifled City. City was uncharacteristically off in terms of passing. Attacking.
We looked really nervous.
Yeah, I mean, so it looked nervous. Game had gotten to him, and I think Inter came in with nothing to lose, and sometimes that's dangerous. These games are, you never know what might happen or how to predict it because there's so much tension. It's like a World Cup final. I mean, anybody can win it, and the game's usually really cagey, but you saw guys missing like 10-yard passes on City that you never see them miss. And Inter actually played a little bit better, but you know, City have had so much bad luck in the Champions League in addition to Pep's tinkering like an idiot, but they've had just bad luck and they finally got some things that went their way. They need to pay Lukaku for helping hand them the trophy, but you got to hand it to him. I think when I think back on Chelsea's run, I mean, what they did to Real Madrid in the semifinals when everybody was like gearing up for this amazing matchup again, like that first half, that was one of the most amazing performances that I've ever seen any team have. I have to give that to James, even though I don't want to. So they eked it out in the final. That's all you needed to do. That's what all the teams that have won the Champions League final have ever done in most of the finals. So hats off, unfortunately. Yeah.
Thank you. Like I said, I knew it was coming. Predicted.
Just like you predicted the treble for him last year. And
I predicted the
last four
last
Champions
year,
League trophies.
Yeah, you guys have only been favored in the four of the last six Champions Leagues. But
we'll be favored again, I guess.
Amazing. I think the best way to describe it is the inevitable treble. Because as we watched from about December, you're like, okay, well, City's going to win the league. And then as the FA Cup played out and they played, who was it, Sheffield United in the semis? I think it was Sheffield United. Somebody bad.
And then we saw that we had United in the finals. It was like, yeah, that was a foregone.
The United, but it really came down to United was the thing that could stop you. And United are in a team that's on the up. But and actually
ran out
City
of gas
easily
2 months before,
yes,
with injuries and
but
everything
had,
else.
But had beaten City easily earlier in the season.
Easily.
You guys were pretty heavy dogs in this final.
Easily.
Let's not
with an offside goal
over.
That shouldn't have counted.
We were 5-1 underdogs, and we, like you said, we had Wout Weghorst As our only active striker in this match.
Yeah, how many Premier League goals did he end up with? But you did have the refs. I think Wout ended up with zero.
There's no way he had zero.
Did you say we had the refs on our side?
Yeah, not calling offsides.
Are you talking about from when we won the game?
I'm talking about the goal that was offsides that shouldn't have counted.
Oh, you're talking about... Yeah, that was offsides. Yeah. I was talking about the game, the FA Cup. It was. Whatever. I don't care. It was offside. But yeah, the game as it came in, and then they had to get through Manchester United team that is currently rebuilding, does not have a striker. It was a 5-1 dog. The Real Madrid team they played, yes, they had a poor season. It doesn't matter when they're in the Champions League. They've always been able to summon something, and Manchester City beat the living crap out of them over two legs. So they go into that Inter game. Inter is a third place Italian team. It was inevitable. It was all inevitable. I think the only thing that was surprising is that they almost allowed two late goals in each one of those games, but they didn't. And it came down to quality. Lautaro Martinez with a, I would say, shocking miss, but it's not shocking.
It's not shocking for him. He's the he's the reincarnation of Gonzalo Higuain.
He is.
But Higuain always got it done for the club, for his clubs. He was a great goal scorer for a club. So, but Lautaro can't do it for clubs or for country. So I don't know.
Yeah. So not surprising there. And then Lukaku just burying his legacy in the turf, along with the ball that he hit right at the goalie at the last minute. So the inevitable treble, and just like the inevitable quote from Thanos, James, there is an evil side to this treble that everybody is focusing on a lot more than the actual treble itself, which are the 115 plus charges that that Manchester City has been brought out by the Premier League, the previous charges that were brought up and dismissed, as well as the other controversies you guys have had where you were actually sanctioned, right? I think that was in 2012 or something like that, where you could only register 23, I think it was.
No, we had we could only register 21. Yeah. Just 23 is the number you can, yeah.
You had a registration punishment. And that is all anybody talked about, as well as your team being state-funded and your sponsorship issues, we'll say, which I thought was...
Which are, as of yet, unsubstantiated, so...
Mm-hmm. So the five Abu Dhabi companies that currently make up...
There's nothing anywhere in any rule against companies from anywhere sponsoring a team.
Yeah. Okay.
It's good that you're reading up on this kind of stuff now, though, because I think you'll probably have to answer some of these questions for your own team coming up.
You're not wrong. We will talk about that in a little bit. I just want to talk about the outrage after the Manchester City treble.
Are we looking at different news outlets, or is this all coming from Manchester United forums?
No, man. This was on every major website, especially the big independent journalist, Daniel Story, wrote a really long article about it. He's a Nottingham Forest fan. Simon Stone of BBC. It was across the board, just talking about how football has taken this huge blow.
It seemed like a lot of English sour grapes to me. There was a lot more
negative sour grapes and
City
also...
stuff than I thought there should have been. Like it... I understand why people are like, oh, you know, the game's going in the wrong direction or whatever, but it's like, does that really need to be the focus of all these articles? Yeah. Like, just
but also, City didn't start that.
There's a lot of reasons to, like, not write so much about it right now. I know they're, like, upset about a team doing it differently in a way they don't think they should, but it's just a lot of... There's a ton of wasted words in there. And they're talking about stuff that's pending,
and
you know, all those charges are
Manchester United fan
pending stuff
that is upset that this team in the same city that has despised us forever has gone and reached the treble, has gotten the treble. I'm upset about that. But at the same time, they still did it. Like, it's not like they paid off the refs. It's not
exactly. They didn't cheat on the sporting field like 20 other of these.
And you can have a strong opinion, and I do have a strong opinion about their ownership and the things they've done in the past. But it really doesn't have very much to do with what happened on the field, with the accomplishment. And it almost feels, I can't believe I'm saying this, it almost feels like, I really can't.
I'm happy that you walked to it yourself. I had nothing to do with this.
Yeah, but...
James is just sitting over there nodding, like tear in his eye, so proud that Tom's gotten to this point.
I still think your ownership group is a putrid bunch of oil stains. Very much like the ownership group that I'll soon have. Don't get me wrong. And I still think that you guys deserve to be sanctioned for your Champions League nonsense, for everything that's being charged against you. You know that I feel that you should be charged for it and you should be punished for it.
Right. That the stuff that had no proof of existing, we should be punished for that.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Just checking.
Sure. Yeah, sure. I'm actually giving you a compliment, so you just hang in there. Don't send me down that lane. The fact that Pep Guardiola has achieved two trebles in his career with two different teams. Yes, they were amazing teams with an incredible amount of talent on it. There's all these other managers who have managed Barcelona, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, Manchester United, all these huge teams that have never done that. And especially the way that he has done it, the ideas that he's brought in, and how he's revolutionized football. Any way you want to look at it. It does matter that he's had all this talent. But all those other guys have this much talent too and did not do this.
And the Premier League is as good as it's ever been. Like, by far the best league there's ever been in history, top to bottom.
Yeah.
It's crazy that they still talk about doing a Super League when, like, Juventus, I don't think, would make the top six in the Prem. You know what I mean?
I'm serious.
Barcelona allowed, 16 league goals or something? 15 league goals this year? And when they played Manchester United in the Europa League knockout rounds that they got basically relegated down to from the Champions League because they didn't get out of the Champions League group. When Barcelona played Manchester United, they allowed more goals in the games against Manchester United and the Champions League group stages than they had in the season for La Liga, which just goes to tell you that the difference in quality is so huge. Like, if they have a Super League, it's probably just going to look like the Prem. Is that like a... I know that's it's like an arrogant thing to say from a Prem fan, but that's what it's going to be.
That's exactly what I'm saying. It's exactly what I'm saying. But in terms of performance and ability-wise, it would absolutely be that. Now, of course, like, Juventus and Barcelona are much bigger brands than, a lot of the Prem teams are. Most of the Prem teams. But performance-wise, Barcelona more recently, but Juventus, the last, five years...
Look at their revenue. Like, if you look at the Deloitte revenue stuff...
Good luck.
Juventus is buried. Every other team is buried down there, except for Real Madrid, and Barcelona's mortgaged away its entire future.
And PSG, Juventus are actual cheaters.
Yeah.
They literally bribe and pay off refs.
They did that. And their books are written in crayon. It's true. They're written in crayon.
Yeah.
I guess the point is that, I can't believe I'm saying this, but this is a treble. It is a capital T.
It's a treble, boys.
It is the thing that Liverpool was chasing not too long ago. On a season, they were chasing it too, and everyone was talking about it. Manchester United did it in 99, and that is what everyone talks about. Even with Manchester United's other things that they've done, 13 Premier League titles, blah, 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 all these other trophies, the thing that sticks out the most is a treble. And I just, I feel like as a sports fan and as a soccer fan, like, we're kind of missing something here. Like, this is something, I mean, if they do it again next year, it'd be really obnoxious. But like, this is something that even they couldn't do, even Pep couldn't do with the teams that he had before, and now he's done it. And I'm like, yes, I despise their ownership group, but something amazing has happened. And just like when Pete and I can understand this next part, when Tom Brady won all those Super Bowls, the ones that were so impossible to win, like it's infuriating on one level, but you at the same time, if you're a sports fan, like that's the point. You know, like you can't just like throw it out the window because of
made up monetary rules.
Well, it's to make sure that teams don't sink to the bottom.
It is absolutely not. That is the lie that they told everybody.
I think it's a lot like the Steinbrenner Yankees. Like they won a ton of titles and they're obnoxious and everybody hated them and they did some shady stuff, but you couldn't deny how good their teams were.
Yeah. And I'll just say we're nowhere near as obnoxious as Liverpool are.
Yes, that is true. You guys don't have that many fans, but the ones you do have...
Liverpool's like the Mets. Still obnoxious fans, really way less trophies.
That's really mean. It's really, really mean. All right, guys, I can't take any more of this.
I thought it was
James,
beautiful.
Anything else
I thought what you said was beautiful, Tom. Mm. And I know... As someone that's been putting money on Manchester City all season.
I have. I made a ton of money. And
you have an eye for a winner. Mm-hmm. And that's why we agreed really early that Arsenal wasn't going to do anything.
I mean, they're just not winners. That was the easiest thing in the universe. That was the easiest thing in the universe. Yeah, I made $250 just rolling Man City bets. Just rolled them all till the very end.
It wasn't worth it.
One thing. This is a treble. Great treble. It's also a treble that comes in the third year of a three-peat of Premier League titles.
True.
Which is also an accomplishment.
It's really more impressive than the treble.
We did three-peat, twice. Baby. League's the hardest competition. In the world.
We did it twice.
Quote Pep.
James, what did you do at the wedding when the final whistle blew?
Well,
did you sink to your knees? Grass
I had
slide?
Been pretending to have diarrhea for the entire second half of the game. and there was only one bathroom. So there was a line when they heard me like do the fist pump like yes, and then pretend flush the toilet and come out. I wouldn't want to be inside the head of those people waiting there. I just apologized, ducked my head, and went back to the food.
So no, drop to your knees, like look at the heavens.
I was sitting on the toilet. Watching the game. I mean, I was sitting down on the toilet. I might have actually, even though I was just pretending the entire time. It was.
You must really like these people if you went to this wedding.
I can't do this anymore, guys. I can't do any more treble talk. I don't want to hear about your celebrations. You're obnoxious. Your team annoys me. I think you guys deserve to get the book thrown at you, but it won't happen for 5 years, and you're just going to throw your lawyers at it.
It's just not going to happen because the charges can't be substantiated.
No, Tom, just gonna throw lawyers at it for eternity. What year do you think you're going to stop hearing about this treble from James?
What year?
Yeah.
On the current
on my
timescape?
Deathbed.
Yeah, I'm talking
current
like...
current timescape.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
Never hear anything different. I've already calculated the fact that in order for you guys to catch us in trophies, you're going to need 11 more years like this.
Yeah,
go
I know.
F*** yourself.
Yeah. That's the easy response and a good one. It doesn't mean I'm going to stop bringing up the trouble.
Yeah, and you know what sucks? We could talk about it in a little bit, but what sucks is I'm also losing some of my moral high ground because my team's going to get taken over by a bunch of crappy... Well, scummy, like proven scummy Qatari oil sheiks and the fan base that Manchester United fan base, which has usually annoyed me, is off the chain right now, thinking that because we're going to get taken over by this shady oil baron, he's going to dump a bunch of money into the club. Like, that instantly means we're going to catch City and the Pep project, and we're instantly going to get trophies. Do they not realize we've been spending money? We've been spending money, and now we're just selling our soul.
Yeah. No, it's all your moral high ground.
No, it's not all my moral high ground, because we haven't yet been accused of 115 charges, plus already gone through 3 or 4 different cases.
No, your new owners would just
cheated and then gotten out on technicalities. So that hasn't happened yet. So no, we
they
still
just
have that
they just
high
bribed
ground.
They just bribed for the World Cup and then used slave labor to build
That's
up stadiums.
That's not related to my team, but very true about the team, the group of gentlemen that would be taking over Manchester United. I'm furious about it. I'm more
I know
angry.
You actually are hurt about it, and that's
I'm more angry about having Qatar come in and buy Manchester United than I'm about you guys winning a treble. I think it's one of the reasons that Manchester United is different from all these other clubs, well, most of the other clubs, is because of
used to be
there's a soul to the club. There's been something for 100+ years. We have the whole, like, we have a homegrown player in the lineup for 85 years straight. We have the treble we built with 5 homegrown players. And yes, that makes our treble different than yours.
Double capital T.
Yeah. And it just translated into a little bit of a bump on the sale price at the end of the day to the oil parent.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what the ironic thing about all the oil baron talk is? That the American guy, Todd Boehly, has spent like more than all those teams combined. Yes. And they're just like, oh, he's just a dumb American. And it's like the state team, you know, the state-owned teams come in and it's like, look at all this money they're spending.
Yeah, Boehly is... Boehly, in 2 years, Boehly will catch up to the entire spending of Manchester City since the takeover.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
I'm saying he will. Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think since we're in the conversation anyways, Pete, did you know that our brother Christian actually just returned from Qatar? I had no idea he went there.
He was in Qatar?
I didn't know he went to Qatar.
I thought he was in Malaysia, like, and some of the, I guess the further West Asian countries. But he told me. I talked to him yesterday. He said, I went to Qatar, and he said, it is my least favorite country that I have ever visited.
Oh, my God.
Ever.
And he's been to a lot of countries. Shitholes.
He's probably been to 50 countries.
Oh, he's been to more than 50 countries.
Maybe more than that. He said it's his least favorite country he's ever been to. He said that essentially a majority of the population there are migrant workers who are not quite slaves, but pretty close. So the ratio of men to women is about 4 to 1. And then it's a country where...
Well, Christian does like that ratio.
Huh?
I said Christian would like that ratio.
Yeah, yeah. Right. He said it's really hard to find like a place to have a good time. He said the only place was a Holiday Inn, and that's apparently where everybody goes. And if you want to do any kind of like sinning at all over there, that's where you have to go to get your drinks. And so therefore, like everything collects there. It's like the bottom of a drain. So you have like all these, all the whores go there, and like everything you can think of just ends up in this one Holiday Inn. He said
it sounds amazing, like, actually.
All new money. Everything's new money and doesn't really make sense. And he said, like, the remnants of the World Cup are still there, and there's nothing at all soccer-related happening in them.
Shocker.
It was his least favorite country he's ever been to. Great.
And they're going to own your team.
Yeah, but that doesn't really have much to do with them owning my team as much as it does, like, being a charmless country that is run by oil tycoons who have never actually worked a day in their lives. That's more like, here they come. And maybe the most important thing, and this does include Manchester City and PSG at the same time, you cannot hold these guys accountable. So while we will go into the ownership process, like James said, like, I mean... Yes, we'll both be oil countries. We'll both be oil teams. And what I would say is that, oh, yeah, we've never
You
been
guys will be less oily.
Accused, we haven't been accused of anything yet. But it just takes one time. And they've already shown that they're not going to follow any rules. They bribed like 100 different people to host a World Cup out of nowhere. They have a country of 3 million. They have no soccer infrastructure. and they bribed 100 people to hold a World Cup and then hosted a World Cup on the backs of and the bodies of like 10,000 people and basically slaves. Like, it can't get worse.
They sound worse than the Man City owners.
Well, what do you know about the Man City owners?
He's just a nice guy. Likes horses.
Yeah, yeah. This was his second time seeing Manchester City play.
A great time to pick.
Yeah. Having these people come in that are morally bankrupt and have proven it. I think Abu Dhabi have proven it over time, but the Qataris have already proven it, and they're coming in on the back of that, and they're acting like, well, hey, it's the who me thing that drives me crazy. Well, and you do it too, James. The who me stuff. Like, who me? Like, we didn't do that. No. Like, get out of here.
Well, what you gotta make it stick in court. But you know what the thing is, actually? That I think it's interesting, and I think maybe becomes a bigger issue as Newcastle are in contention to win more things or win things.
Yeah,
I mean, Saudi Arabia, we want to talk about that, is
sure
the worst of the bunch.
Yes, they've done horrible things, and all three of these countries are
the owner of sports watching that. The owner of Newcastle effectively murdered a journalist.
And dismembered him.
So like, but yeah. But no. So that's the thing. It's an interesting thing because the Man City owners get a lot. There's a lot more outrage about the Man City owners because they've been accused of financial
white collar stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a little fraud.
Just a little fraud accusation, which we've successfully defended ourselves against so far.
You're hilarious. But.
But we haven't dismembered any journalists, you know.
See, that's where we're at.
We haven't.
I could say
we haven't built
Qataris
a nation on the back
either.
Of slave labor.
Yeah, it's like, oh well, you did that. Listen to that kind of argument that is now developing because, I mean, you could definitely see in like a few years here who's the top of the Premier League: United, City, and Newcastle, three countries. How are you going to control them when they start making new rules? You can't. You can't control them. They own the Qataris already own half of London. I don't know if you've ever seen like their real estate list. They own like pretty much all the big buildings in London already. So they've already wormed their way into the political infrastructure. You know that for sure. And they're just going to do whatever they want. The rumor is, I mean, the Athletic guys that break down salary caps and FFP stuff have said Manchester United's bankroll for this summer is between 125 and 150 million. You can do things like push contracts back like Chelsea are doing, legally or not. I'm not sure if they're actually doing it legally, but you can do that kind of thing. And basically the next summer you're screwed because you won't be able to spend as much, right? So they're saying between 125 and 150. Well, I think if the Qataris come in here, you're going to see weird stuff. You're going to see United spend like $300 million, and then it's going to be like, well, these Athletic guys did a lot of research on this and showed that there's no way that United could actually spend $150 million and stay under FFP. And then you're going to hear like, oh, Qatari Airlines comes in. Holy moly, what a deal. $100 million over $100 million a year for the next 25 years. That's crazy.
To be your jockstrap sponsor.
Yeah, I mean, that's what City have done. They actually are the only team that didn't report their main sponsor, which is what? The airline.
Etihad Airways?
They are the only ones who did not make a press release announcing their sponsorship amount they're getting from the Etihad. And then they went and they said that they have the highest commercial income in the Premier League.
City didn't say that. Someone else said that.
Somebody reported what City's earnings were. Yes, that's correct. And then you go and you look at the jersey sales, and City are like 5% above Tottenham in fifth place.
Right, but we also win the league every year, and we just want to treble. So that's what sponsorship is about, because that's more eyes on Manchester City. There's more televised games of Manchester City. That's what sponsorship's about. That logo is being broadcast globally.
I can get you the TV rights as well. And the difference in the TV rights between Manchester City, the amount of money they pull in from TV games, is almost the same as Tottenham.
That's all divided. I'm talking about like you just the largest viewership ever of a Champions League final was just Manchester City. So how many impressions of that? But that's what sponsorship pays for.
Yeah,
that happened before this year.
I think
we've been favorites for the Champions League for the past 5 years.
I think there is some pumped up commercial stuff to some extent, but they've absolutely grown their brand through winning and shot up the charts in match day, you know, revenue and in every other aspect. So it's not just these trumped up endorsement deals.
But the whole point is that's what sponsors are paying for. Is eyes on the logo.
I will put a bottle of Blanton's on the fact that you guys have another case pending that's going to go, your current case that they have pending ends in 2018. You'll have another one for 2018 to like 2022 where they're looking at inflated sponsors.
The sponsorship
deals are all qualified by the competitions. UEFA makes everything count as fair value.
You're talking about like the Etihad Airlines deals and a couple other ones. That's like a fraction of what their overall revenue is. Yes, it is.
It's no, the sponsorship amount they make $300 million. That's like 40% of their turnover, if not more.
Yeah, but that's not all. Some of that stuff is like American companies.
There's 30 companies listed for every team.
And all those sponsorship values, you're conflating what you are mad at City about, and so you're weaking your own argument. The sponsorship values are determined fair value, like by UEFA. They look at it and they say this is fair value, or that, you know what, that's too high. We'll let you count 30 of it instead of 40. They do that for every sponsorship amount. What you actually want to be arguing about?
I do want to be arguing that because your five biggest sponsorships, actually five of six, because your jersey sponsorship is through Puma, it's Puma. Five of six are like Abu Dhabi Telecommunications, Abu Dhabi.
But they're considered fair value, fair market value. It doesn't.
You're just saying
it doesn't matter.
Yes, you're doing something shady, but we're counting it because they didn't make an explicit.
It's not shady to have a company sponsor you because they're from the same country. That's not
it's
what
not
makes
they're
it
from the same country. They're owned by the same guys who own your club.
And
that's
if it's determined that it's not fair market value, they don't count it.
But they have rules against you just.
All right,
going,
we're getting into the weeds.
They made those rules, FFP, and then they count what the sponsors really what about. Sponsorships account.
Okay, well, I'm going to be in that boat soon anyway, so I better just listen to your defenses so I'm ready to use them myself.
I'm right, is the thing.
You're
so,
wrong,
no,
and you're
no.
going to be under investigation for the fourth or fifth time.
Well,
and then
sure.
you'll throw lawyers at every single junction.
Oh, when you get accused of a crime, you hire lawyers. What? That you must be guilty.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the next topic.
Manchester City fans, you especially, remind me of the San Francisco fans when Pete and I went out there and Barry Bonds was chasing all those records. Yeah. He's definitely doing it legally. And meanwhile, Barry Bonds is a foot taller than he was when he was like 25.
That's just because his head was a foot
taller. That's actual cheating. That's actual cheating at the sport itself.
Yeah, that's actual sport cheating. It's not rules that were made up to specifically stop your team from investing.
Fine.
Can we talk about
everybody's against us. Wah.
Can we talk about the second place team for a minute in the Premier League?
What second place team? Was there another team? Was there another
those guys,
team?
Those losers?
I haven't been able to make the podcast the last three or four times. And I've had to listen to an Arsenal fan, Ken Lee, spend about 20 minutes talking about how bad my team is, you know, how they're sliding, how the owner sucks, the whole club's in shambles, blah, blah, blah. And I'd just like to point out a few things about the Arsenal Football Club, because over the past 4 or 5 years, you know what, I really haven't cared that much about Arsenal. I can't say I didn't enjoy them being bad, but it didn't really, like, I've only been a serious fan for, in about 7 years. So, like, Arsenal hasn't been good during that time. So, they haven't, like, I haven't really hated them that much. But the Arsenal fans are obsessed with, no matter what they say, trying to Tottenham. They made up a day, St. Totteringham's Day, when they beat us during the season. And I'd just like to drop a couple of Arsenal tidbits for you. So this club, it's supposed to be a big club, the amount of trophies they've won over the last 10 years, they have won two FA Cups, no Premier League titles.
That's in how many years?
10 years.
Oof. 10 years, two FA Cups. Got it.
They have not played in a Champions League game since 2016 season.
That will change this season, though.
2016. Imagine not watching a single Champions League game.
Couldn't be me.
Before that, the year before that, was their seventh year in a row of getting knocked out in the round of 16 in Champions League. 7 years in a row, they made it to the round of 16 and got knocked out. Seven. That's impossible. Absolutely impossible. And they have not made it to the Champions League quarterfinals since 2009. That's 15 years.
I'm not done yet.
Okay.
Let me finish.
And the worst part about it is when Tottenham peaked out at second place and we were all excited about how fun our football was to watch and how awesome the attacking football was, blah, blah, blah. The Arsenal fans used to beat us with the trophyless stick. You know, no trophies in the cabinet that season every year. And now, all of a sudden, Arsenal has a great year on the field in terms of attacking football and smooth soccer, blah, 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 in first place. Terrible collapse, second half of the season. Four of the worst collapses in Premier League history, four out of five, have come from the Arsenal Football Club. And all of a sudden, they've had an incredible season, but no trophies anywhere. Favored to win the Europa League. Don't even make it into the semifinals. So, this is for Ken Lee. Don't f***ing tell me how successful Arsenal Football Club's season was and how great everything is when there are zero trophies in your cabinet from this year. And every Arsenal fan thinks things are going to go up. But guess what? Most teams that make it up to second place, they're probably coming back down. And that's all I have to say.
Powerful stuff.
I would just like to add that Arsenal
the ultimate Spursy team.
Arsenal Football Club has been involved in European finals before, and they've lost all of them. Champions League. Have they ever made it to a Europa League final?
I'm not sure. Yes, they lost to Chelsea 1 year.
Yeah.
No Conference League for them. They have never won a European trophy. And I think based on everything that Ken has been saying for the last month since you haven't been here, it really was the cat was away, so the mice will play kind of situation, which James
and
I
and listen, we've been terrible. But, you know, there's a limit to the kettle calling or
the pot calling
to pot black. Pot calling the kettle black.
Sure.
And he went way over that limit. Like, James could do it. You could do it with your team's history. And I just have to sit there and take it. But come on. Arsenal, like 20 years of underachievement. Right alongside of us.
Sure. And that was Dr. Pete, everybody. getting the last 12 months off his chest.
Trialing a new segment we like to call F*** You Arsenal and F*** You Ken Lee specifically.
I don't even care that much about Arsenal. I don't.
Yeah, I do think I've noticed online that the Arsenal fans and Ken seem to really care a lot more about Tottenham than Tottenham fans do. Tottenham fans kind of implode on themselves and get upset about their, you know, their own team. And I do think that there's a certain percentage of their Arsenal fans' brain that is, you know, always tracking Tottenham. It's kind of like a City fan, always tracking United. It's the same sort of thing.
That hasn't been for a while.
All right, guys, so let's do some transfer stuff. I think we've already talked about the oil countries, and they're affecting the transfer market big time, as we have this new, like, James, do you remember when Russia was doing this, where they were going in?
Yeah, Shakhtar Donetsk.
That's Ukraine.
Oh, well, but that was the team that was them.
But somebody, no, it was Angzi something.
Oh, yeah, Angie Makachala or whatever.
Yes, they bought Eto. They brought in Roberto Carlos as a coach. Anyway, yeah. These countries, these leagues come in and they start buying up all these players. Now, I don't think the Russian league was ever going to be sustainable, that mega oil team that bought Eto. And the Chinese league, they had some problems where either they're not paying people or people just don't like being in China. They had all kinds of weird stuff going on there.
It's both of those things.
James would know more about the geopolitics of why the Chinese league doesn't bring anybody in anymore. But essentially, the transfer market gets ruined by these other countries coming in with a crap load of money and buying players. Now we have Saudi Arabia. They bought Cristiano Ronaldo for, I don't know, 500 million plus. They just bought Benzema for what, 150 million a year or something like that.
Pretty crazy.
They're essentially becoming the new retirement year league.
I mean, the money is just so much more than has ever been offered, or how much these players are worth.
Yeah, I mean, they're gonna buy Mahrez. Apparently, he's on their list now too.
Maybe. I still think that the reason that these players won't go to Saudi Arabia is the same reason that players didn't go to China, unless they're third-party owned. It's that Europe is where you want to be if you want prestige and you want your trophies. There are still guys out there, and some of them I really don't blame. Like some of the African players that ended up going to China, they support entire like cities, basically. And it's hard to really blame somebody like that who has all these people that they're helping, and it really is just about the money for them because it has to be. I don't blame them for that, but I don't think you're going to see a lot of guys that are still in the prime of their career. Like Benzema is stepping away after a, you know, pretty poor season. He's 35, didn't do all that much. He still had a couple flashes here and there, but in the league, he was not good at all. And there were some other players going over there. Conte.
I mean, he was the Ballon d'Or last year.
Yeah, but he wasn't good.
This season, he was not good.
I mean,
good.
He was. Yeah, injured. He was banged up.
Wasn't.
And I'm not saying he was good, but he's still a year off the Ballon d'Or. Yeah, he's not a bad player. I
mean, no, he's not. And he would be a valuable player somewhere. But he's also 35 and has won everything.
You know, would like take Benzema on United next year.
Absolutely,
in a heartbeat.
I would. Yes, I would. But what I'm saying is none of these European players that have something to play for, I don't think Mahrez will go there. Unless, I mean, I think it's more likely that Mahrez would go to like PSG and try to.
If you get offered $100 million to play over there for 2 years, guys are going to take it.
You got to take that deal.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
you're talking about 2 years.
But you can get that money.
No, you can't.
When you're
Mahrez isn't getting $100 million.
Yeah,
you don't think he's gonna get that when he retires?
No.
I don't think he's getting $100 million anyways.
That's what like.
But when he retires?
What do you mean when he retires?
I mean when he gets old, like 32, 33. You don't
think? There's no guarantee that it's gonna be that deal is gonna be around then. Mm-hmm. I think it's very easy for us to sit here and be like, well, European football is way better. You play for all this stuff. When you have $100 million, like they're like, okay, if you sign this contract, I'll put $50 million in your bank account. To have that in your face and say no, like Messi to turn down $1 billion, like how many people in the history of the world have just turned down $1 billion that you can get in like 2 years? Not like you're paid over 50 years.
I
Like, who's done that in the history of mankind?
No one. And that is awesome that Messi did that. But I mean, if all these guys were rushing to go off, you'd see all of them leaving right now. You'd see all the top.
I think it'll be
starting. Look at golf.
It'll be like dominoes falling. I think a little bit. Like Benzema's going. They're gonna get a couple players. Like, not saying of Benzema's profile, but like same kind of, you know, they're
N'Golo Kanté.
Yeah, Kanté's gonna go. I mean, there's a whole raft of players that are Muslim.
Yeah.
Where it will be a lot easier for them to convince. I think, like Benzema's Muslim, Kanté's Muslim, Mahrez is Muslim. They're going to move to a Muslim country. So it's like, that to me makes it, and I think they're targeting those players specifically as well.
And, you know, UEFA may have to bow to them just like the PGA Tour did and say, listen, we're going to have to do a truce because, you know, it's going to devolve and it's going to be each side against the other and a bunch of lawsuits, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, Saudi Arabia gets included in European tournaments.
Well, I could see that happening, not because of the other reasons you listed, just because Saudi Arabia is an oil country, and when they start to do things like any of these oil countries, they can't be stopped.
That's what I mean.
They can just throw money in there and make a new competition, and it'll be the Super League, and it'll be run by the oil boys, because now you'll have United, you'll have City, you'll have PSG. That's already three huge oil boys that you'll get their votes. I mean, I don't think it'll go down exactly the way you were talking about, but now expanding it a little bit and thinking about it that way, I could see that. I could see all of a sudden Saudi Arabia, the Saudi Arabian League is the one to break apart the UEFA monopoly, I guess, on high competition, just because they can. They have the money to do it. They spent... You know, the Qataris spent $200 million without blinking to build a soccer infrastructure for the World Cup.
I mean, UEFA has... Russia's in UEFA. And they're not a European country.
Well...
Yeah.
So yeah, why couldn't Saudi Arabia make a strong argument for whatever? Especially after they pay everybody off on
the board. Their strong argument's going to be greasing everybody's palms.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. These oil tycoons can do whatever they want because money buys all the politics, all the politicians that you could ever need. That's why United, I mean, really what happens with the United takeover is simple. It's like all they have to do is put in more money than the other guy. And then why wouldn't they do that? You know, it's the same thing as City.
It's like, oh, I just have to offer up a couple hundred more dollars, $100 more million.
City has all these laws coming at them, all these, you know, court cases, and they do exactly this. They have contested every single affidavit, every single document to be turned in, every single one. That's what they can do because you can't, I mean, Premier League, UEFA, they can't go up against these limitless countries that have all the money they could ever want. They can do whatever they want. And Pete, you're right. Like, I'd be worried about that too. I'm hoping that it goes the same direction as the weird little blip that the Russians had and then the Chinese had it, where people don't actually want to go and live in these countries. But at the same time, I mean, living in Manchester isn't actually the greatest.
Saudi Arabia is not a nice place to live. I've been there.
But Manchester isn't a nice place to live either, James.
But for different reasons. You think the people in Manchester are ugly.
Well, yeah, that's scary. And the LIV thing is an interesting comp. I don't think it's direct competition between the European leagues and Saudi Arabia right now. It would have to be something where they make their own competition.
Yeah, I mean, the golf structure is just different enough where, I mean, I think it is an interesting comp as well, but it's not going to be exactly that.
No, it won't be, but it could go down a similar pathway just because there's so much money that if you get a big defection of European stars, they're going to have to do something.
Yeah, well, look at this way, guys. Barcelona is bankrupt. They are so bankrupt that right now, if they wanted to, they could not play in La Liga next year as of what they have right now on their books. They could not play in the league. They are not in compliance with the league's FFP. So what's to stop Barcelona or Saudi Arabia for coming to Barcelona and be like, hey, come on over here. We'll give you $1 billion, whatever it is. We will wipe all your debts clean. You can pay for anything you want to. if instead of playing in the Champions League, you play in the new Saudi Super League or the World Super League, and they start offering these bankrupt clubs, Juve, and Real Madrid's not bankrupt, but they're not as strong as they were. They still have a lot of money. They haven't done as badly as the rest. But what if they do that to these clubs that are dead in the water? You know, I think that's what Pete's kind of getting at, is that they can do that. They have the kind of money.
Yeah.
You think Barcelona wouldn't snap somebody's hand off for $1 billion right now? Billion euros?
It's
worth thinking about. And maybe that's already that idea has already been sowed because Xavi's coming over there to Barcelona. Like, he's got contacts in the Saudi world. So hopefully not. It's a sad story, but a lot of other interesting transfer rumors rolling around. Pete, you have a manager. That's good.
That was wild.
Oh, thank God.
Didn't think that was going to happen.
No, you didn't.
There was not going to be a repeat of the Nuno nonsense. They would have hired some guy off the street before they made it to August without a manager.
Real quick, since you brought it up, Nuno won the Saudi Arabian League.
Boom.
Put him on the list of former Tots trophy gatherers. What about Toby, okay, though? Real quick.
But you have a trophy. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Toby.
Yeah.
Alderweireld?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For Alderlecht, right?
Uh-huh. Alderweireld.
I don't know.
He scored like 3 goals with his feet for us his whole career and absolutely smashed that ball.
That was a 90. Such a
it was like a
win.
Vincent Kompany moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Vincent Kompany moment. Yeah, to win them their first league title in 56 years. Is that the Austrian league?
Belgium. Belgian. It was
Belgian league, yeah. Another Tottenham player. Yeah, so a lot of transfer rumors are flying. I think for James, for City, you guys are not sitting pat. You'll probably bring in a midfielder. It won't be Bellingham as he went to Real Madrid.
Yeah.
But
Declan Rice.
Supposedly in for Rice. I think you guys will sign Gundogan to a 1+1.
Well, I think that's going to be the domino that needs to fall for us. So it's and I think also Silva is another piece of that puzzle, but I think Gundogan is the most important part for the midfield.
City is good at just going out and doing what they want to do. Like, it's there's not that many protracted rumors other than like the Kane saga, which was stupid. And that was more Levy than City probably, but they usually go out and just grab who they want to grab. And
yeah, we don't. It's interesting because like it hasn't been a lot of rumors about City so far. I mean, I did just read this Rice one. I mean, I don't know. I think that's probably just to drive Arsenal's price up on them. I don't think they were actually in for him.
That's what I think too.
But yeah, we'll see. If Gundogan goes, I mean, that's a huge, huge hole to replace. If Silva goes, that's a huge hole to replace. So I don't know what happens then.
It'd really only be losses that would force you to buy. You're kind of settled. You just won the treble. And Pep's not stupid. He's really good at keeping teams sharp. I think you guys, this is my prediction, you will actually end up with a positive net spend.
Yeah.
I think Cancelo goes, and he won't go for what you paid for him, but he'll go for 30 or 40.
I did want to mention that. I think that's a lock that the first thing that we do is dish him. Like, I think it is a lock that he is gone.
Well, Barcelona wanted to ask if you guys would loan him, but also pay his wages.
Yeah.
How dumb do you feel if you're Cancelo and you, went to Bayern?
He's
going to
get.
Just won the treble.
Yeah. Well, he's going to
get it.
He's going to get a medal.
He gets all of them.
He's going to get all of them. He gets a Bundesliga medal, he gets a Premier League medal. He gets an FA Cup medal, and he gets a Champions League medal.
Does he get an FA Cup medal, though? Because the FA Cup starts in... Did it start in January? It usually starts in January, and he was gone.
Oh, really? If he didn't play, he's not going to get a medal.
I don't know when the FA Cup started this year, because it was that weird...
You're right. That could be.
He might not get that one. Oh, my God. I have terrible news.
Breaking news. I saw Greg Berhalter.
They didn't confirm it.
It's confirmed.
All the big US MNT guys.
Bounce
are
pass,
reporting.
Greg.
Why are our ambitions so low as
a
nation?
You just ostracized your best young player. Now, what do you do with Gio Reyna?
Who, by the way, is playing in this game against Mexico right now and looking very good, playing centrally attacking midfield.
Oh.
I can't believe that's really what's going to happen.
That explains why Pulisic and somebody else from the national team recently was like, hey, he got us so far, like, can't knock that. Oh, man. Oh,
well, it doesn't mean he's hired for the World Cup.
But it means he's hired.
The weird thing is he doesn't need to go through he doesn't need to win these qualifying games because we already qualify.
But you have a team that you're trying to build for the World Cup.
I know. I'm just saying, like, if he did bad in qualifying, you could fire him. But, like,
yeah, right.
He's probably not going to get fired now that I'm thinking through.
And what I'm reading is that, like, they hired an entire firm to make sure that you got the right hire, and then they disregarded everything that the firm suggested.
Well, how could you go through that whole prolonged saga and then be like, yeah, he's our guy? With all that baggage, even if you thought he was a good coach.
Can it be anybody else? I mean, I saw guys that I never heard of, obviously. Oh, that's atrocious.
This lineup that we have out against Mexico right now, probably the most talented U.S. lineup that's 11 that's ever been fielded. And you know what a hallmark of this lineup is? Versus no, a hallmark of Greg Berhalter's lineups?
We have a striker.
Well, the number of MLS players. So it's zero right now. And we're crushing Mexico. And is Greg Balogun Berhalter playing? Likes to play players like, what's his name? Like Reggie Cannon out on the wing or whatever.
That's a great MLS name. Joe Scally.
Yeah.
Joe
it
Scally.
Is. It's Reggie Cannon who went to the World Cup with us. And was absolutely god awful in every single way.
Yeah, Balogun is playing Pete. All right, guys, we're rambling.
Yeah.
We're rambling. This podcast is over. Greg Berhalter.
What
you
a
have to
sour note to end
That's
on.
That's atrocious. So Manchester United is going to get bought and be an oil club, scummy oil club. And Greg Berhalter is in charge.
That's a really bad day for you. At least I have the treble.
And City won the treble.
Yeah.
I'd rather have a manager with an Australian accent.
Yeah, he does have a very pleasant accent. I think the Australian accent's really nice. Just saying.
Good for you.
It's better than a guy who can't speak English. He's broken Italian English that he just says suffer a lot over and over.
They must suffer. They must suffer.
Like yeah. All right. For Dr. Pete, anything to add as a last podcast of the season?
Nope. Only less than 2 months until the first game of the Premier League season.
Okay. That's reassuring. Harry Kane, question mark?
Nobody
I'm
knows.
Saying, as I've said for the last 5 years, Harold Kane will be on Tottenham next year, but not
the
following summer.
Do you think he runs his contract out?
I do. Because Levy's not selling him.
Qatari gets what they want.
Oh,
they get
geez.
What they want.
Sounds
You're
ominous.
About to get funded by £150 million of Qatari dirty oil money. Congratulations.
Pete will take it, I'm sure.
James, you can end the podcast. Treble win. Go ahead.
Treble win. What's going to be exciting next season is the quadruple. You heard it here first. The quadruple, the Carabao Cup is coming home. We gave it a little rest this season. We'll let someone else win it.
Mm-hmm. Holland
it's coming back, baby.
At least 5 less goals next year than he did this year. At least
only
five,
31 goals.
Yep, only 31 goals. That's my prediction.
Okay.
And we are the better oil team because we are not under investigation yet. So, eat shit.
I
want you to know that.
I don't care.
For Kenley, who is absent, for Dr. Pete, who's finally here, and for James Lewis, I'm Tom Miller saying, I hope everybody has an awesome summer.
You know, Levy is still being, like, really Levy-ish, though, like, with that bid for Madison and Barnes.
That was funny.
What did you think Levy is going to change?